Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. The text today is this gospel lesson, and especially the very brief account of Jesus' baptism, which happens at the very end, and verse 22, where we read, "The Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased.'" Please be seated. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved child. With you I am well pleased. I wonder if you've had in your own experience that moment where you're prepped to go into surgery, laying on a hospital bed, devoid of all familiar clothing, dressed only in that hospital gown which barely covers you and doesn't do much for insulation. I wonder if you've ever had that experience. In my life, I've had two times where I've needed to have a small procedure and remember it very well. What happens when we're gotten ready, when we're prepped for surgery? What happens? I was contemplating this as I was thinking about our gospel reading today. Well, we're stripped of the layers of security and obvious signs of our identity, aren't we? You have to give up your familiar clothing. You have to put it in some bag and then they take it away and put it somewhere that you don't know. You have to give them your wallet, even. And in your wallet contains all your identification marks, like your driver's license, which has your name on it, anything that has an indication of that you are here, that you are a Canadian, or that you're covered by insurance, or that you've got a bank account somewhere, or a credit card account, or anything that would provide you with some security, you give it all up. You give away your phone. You can't even wear any jewelry. And if you wear nail polish, you have to take that off too. They need to be able to see your nail beds. It's a complete disarmament, isn't it? I wonder if you've ever had that experience. If you haven't, maybe at some point you will. I don't wish that for you, but surgery is a blessing in our modern world. Well, why are we thinking about this state? I offer you this image. If it takes some imagination to put yourself in that place, then use your imagination. If it's in your own experience, then think about what that felt like. I offer you that state because this is the state in which we are received by God. This helpless, disarmed, naked, unadorned state of life. When Jesus was starting out in his ministry, before he had done any miracles, before he had preached any sermons, before he had called disciples, before he had done anything impressive, that is when God the Father's voice rang down from heaven and said, "You are my beloved Son. I am very well pleased with you." It's challenging for our human brains to contemplate that, to accept that, isn't it? We would much rather see God's approval voiced at the very end, when Jesus perhaps has accomplished everything that he came to do and is hanging on the cross and says, "It is finished." Then we would like to see God ring out from heaven, "Well done." But that's not how it happens. That's not when God chooses to declare his glowing approval over Jesus, his perfect one. No, it's here at the very outset, when he is, at least his ministry is, newborn. I wonder about you, whether you can remember growing up when you were a little one, when you were a child, and your own parents, and when you were rewarded. Do you remember, for instance, the experience of bringing home that perfect report card? I had friends in elementary school, at least, who told me, "If I get an A, I get $20. Did you get rewarded for your performance? I wonder, as you grew up, if you can recall a time when your parents, and now picture them for a moment, picture their faces, picture them leaning out over you, because you're still small, and picture them saying, "We're so proud of you. Good job." Can you remember that experience? I wonder what was the context. We're so tuned towards performance in our lives as human beings that we expect to be rewarded for good behavior and perhaps either chastised or maybe even punished for bad. We develop this way of life through our long lives, and it's hard to get away from it, isn't it? But this tuning does not come from God. In fact, God's approval comes without anything on our parts, spoken freely and graciously. This is the meaning of grace. If we in our own lives are performance-oriented, God is anything but. He looks upon you today and He declares over you with confidence and with authority, "You are my beloved children, my perfect children, because of what Jesus has done." Isn't it interesting sometimes? This is really about worth, isn't it? About what we are worth. And isn't it interesting sometimes in a free market economy that something is worth really what anybody is willing to pay for it? And so if often in our own lives we're trying to establish our worth, or maybe even use the term net worth by referring to what we might have accumulated or the wealth that we've built up, or maybe our skills, degrees that we have hanging on the wall, or the things that we've accomplished, the experience in our occupations, maybe we think of ourselves as worthwhile members of society based on these things. But really, our worth isn't about anything intrinsic, is it? No, our worth is depending on what is someone going to pay for us. And if you think about that, then you really understand what you are worth, because God has paid for you. You didn't get a bargain. He paid the highest price there is. God has paid for you with His own life. And so when you ask, "What am I worth?" the answer is that to Him you are worth His own life. To Him, Micah is worth dying for, just like everybody else in this room and everybody else outside this room who's wandering around in various states of disrepair, various states of human confusion, maybe having been tuned up with performance orientation by their own parents and achieving great things, or maybe having been dropped in the gutter as an absolute abysmal failure. In God's eyes, they're all worth His own life. And that is something that we can never completely understand. Dear friends, hear today the voice of God the Father declaring over you, "You are my beloved children. With you I am well pleased. You have been perfected because of Jesus." There is much more to say about the life of faith in God's kingdom. There is much more that happens as we are welcomed into God's kingdom, just as there's much more in Micah's future that we speak of and that we hope for and that we even reference now as we think about raising her up and teaching her. And there's much more that we would love to see. But know this, in God's eyes, she will always be just like this. She can never be worth more to Him than she is right now. And so as we are also reminded of this on Micah's baptism day, we can rest assured that Jesus has declared us righteous and holy because of what Jesus has done, and there's nothing we can do, never anything that we can do to make Him love us more than He already does. For you are His children, His beloved, His chosen ones, and He has called you by name, and He is well pleased with you. Amen. Now may the peace that comes from knowing that Jesus has covered our sins with His perfection guard our hearts and minds while we wait for the coming of His kingdom in all its fullness. Amen.